Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing, Canto 3, Chapter 28. We read 5, 6, and 7 yesterday. This is Kapila Dev speaking to Devahuti on the topic of what's called instructions on devotional service, but it starts with a description of the Ashtanga Yoga system, resting upon, supported by bhakti. So in case you wanted to know how to do Ashtanga Yoga, here's how to do it. After controlling one's mind in sitting postures, one should spread a seat in a secluded and sanctified place, sit there in an easy posture, keeping the body erect, and pranayama. Although pranayama isn't in the verse. Practice breath control. Same as 6th chapter Bhagavad Gita. This is the purport. The seat should be kusa grass or deerskin. And on top of that is cotton, in case you want to do it carefully. Text 9. The yogi should clear the passage of vital air by breathing in the following manner. First, he should inhale very deeply. Then, hold the breath in. And then finally exhale. Or, reversing the process, the yogi can first exhale. Then, hold the breath outside. And finally inhale. This is done so that the mind may become steady and free from external disturbances. So, Prabhupada explains, these breathing exercises are performed to control the mind and fix it on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Savai mana Krishna Padaravindayo, the devotee, Ambarish Maharaj, fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna 24 hours a day. The process of Krishna consciousness is to chant Hare Krishna and to hear the sound attentively so that the mind is fixed upon the transcendental vibration of Krishna's name is non-different from Krishna, the personality. The real purpose of controlling the mind by this prescribed method of clearing the passage of life air is achieved immediately if one fixes his mind directly at the lotus feet of Krishna. The Hatha Yoga system or breathing system is especially recommended for those who are very absorbed in the concept of bodily existence, but one who can perform the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna can fix the mind more easily. Paragraph. Three different activities are recommended for clearing the passage of breath. Puraka, Kumbhaka, and Rechaka. In case you want to do Ashtanga Yoga. Inhaling the breath is called Puraka. Sustaining it within is called Kumbhaka. And finally exhaling it is called Rechaka. These recommended processes can also be performed in the reverse order. After exhaling, one can keep the air outside for some time and then inhale. The nerves through which inhalation and exhalation are conducted are technically called ida and pingala. The ultimate purpose for clearing the ida and pingala passages is to divert the mind from material enjoyment. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one's mind is his enemy, and one's mind is also his friend. Its position varies according to the of the living entity. If we divert our mind to thoughts of material enjoyment, then our mind becomes an enemy. And if we concentrate our mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, then our mind is a friend. By the yoga system of Puraka, Kumbhaka, and Rechaka, or by directly fixing the mind on the sound vibration of Krishna, or on the form of Krishna, the same purpose is achieved. In Bhagavad Gita 8.8, it is said that one must practice the breathing exercise, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena, by virtue of these processes of control. The mind cannot wander to external thoughts. Chetasa nanya gamina. Thus one can fix his mind constantly on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and can attain, parentheses, yati, him. Final paragraph. Practicing the yoga system of exercise and breath control. It's very difficult for a person in this age, and therefore Lord Chaitanya recommended. Kirtaniya sada harihi. One should always chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord Krishna, because Krishna is the most suitable name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The name Krishna and the person Krishna are not different. Therefore, if one concentrates his mind on hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, the same result is achieved. And it goes on like this. The verses follow, are describing the external things that one does in order to help the mind become fixed in transcendence, or fixed upon the Supreme, because that's the objective of each of the steps. And then weaving in his purports, as Prabhupada's explaining how the same is accomplished by the kirtan process, or the chanting, the sound vibration of the holy name. The process is simple. And very effective and very sublime, and still we struggle. I had a conversation with a devotee along the path of my travels who really likes kirtan, but he has a really great difficulty just chanting on beats. Really likes kirtan, has real great difficulty chanting on beats. What to do? He's tried this and tried that and tried this and just... So the musical aspect of kirtan maybe would attract some people, and no problem that the musical act, feature of kirtan attracts some people because the holy name is there. But really the purpose of the musical part is the kirtan part. So this devotee told me that he received some advice from a kirtanir. I won't mention the kirtanir's name. That when in kirtan, most important is the name. So this devotee stopped practicing or accompanying kirtan with musical with musical instruments so that he could just focus on the name. And he found that was very effective. So, not just the musical part, but the name part of kirtan, but no attraction for, in fact, aversion for chanting on beads. One sense, it doesn't make sense. So, find, try this, try that. I suggested that then you say you can chant one round on beads and then like it's over. So chant one round on beads. Then put your beads down and then without beads, just in cadence like you had beads, you chant. Then it's just the name. So that sounds like a good idea. To connect the chanting to this mechanical process, and that's how Prabhupada referred to it as mechanical. It has these two parts, essentially, drawing the mind and withdrawing the mind. Drawing the mind to the Supersoul in the Ashtanga Yoga system, and bringing the mind to the sound of Krishna's name, which is not different than Krishna. Well, so, yeah, there's some tissue, then I will help. I'll stop sneezing. So we're hearing in the purport about the mind being our best friend, the mind being the greatest enemy. Here, just hand it to me. Best friend, greatest enemy, same entity, the mind. So where the mind goes, to Krishna, or to the long-standing attraction for matter. This being drawn, the asat Krishna, in the language of Bhagavad Gita, and Harinam Chintamani also speaks of this. It's one of the system of anartha in Harinam Chintamani indicates that that one of the categories of anarthas is asatrishna, thirst for the temporary. And it's just reposed in the mind. The object, I'm looking out the window, there's a tree and snow and a roadway. So the object is neutral. The object is neither, you know, attractive or repulsive. It's within the mind how I see. Maybe I like the snow, maybe I don't like the snow. So it's attractive. It's how we process the thing. And how we process the thing is through our processor, through the mind. to cleansing the mind. In the language of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is to remain neutral towards those objects, pebbles, stones, and gold. That's a mind that's cleansed. The object is the object is the object, and the mind is neither attracted nor repulsed. That's only possible when the mind is cleansed. Of course, the mechanical process tries to accomplish that by restraint, forcible restraint, tying up the mind in ropes and handcuffs and blindfold, and it's artificial. How long can you sit in a straitjacket in a padded cell with blindfolds on and feel comfortable? You're neutral towards the environment. After some time, the cause, according to the language of Devahuti, the cause returns, that is, the desire to enjoy. Then the instruments of enjoyment are the senses. And then the objects are also there. So it's repeat, it's a rerun, according to our attraction for enjoyment. So the repository of those desires, or the conceptions of life that says, I'll enjoy if, fill in the blank. If I go climb the tree, or I go chop down the tree and make a house, or whatever the thing poses, is enjoyment. So the Buddhists also have this very clear notion that desire is bondage, is the root of bondage. So they try to burn desire and become desireless. Well, it's artificial, because the soul, by nature, in its pure state, has desire. And that desire for service to the Supreme. It's the fact. So if you try to become desireless, burn out desire or suppress desire, it's again the straitjacket and the padded cell with blindfolds and earplugs. It's artificial. Because on the soul level, there's a nature, a spiritual swabhava. So the Ashtanga Yoga system is that kind of mechanical, recognizing at the same time the mechanism of the body, how life airs move, and by the life airs moving, it gives apparent life or animation to the limbs, the structures of the body, the muscular and skeletal and nervous system structure of the body. Without the life airs, none of that happens. And without the soul, the life airs don't move. So the soul can then try to regulate and constrain and fix in a steady position the life airs somehow, thus making the mind more peaceful, thus facilitating fixing the mind on super soul. It's, where's the taste in all of that? I mean, people do because they're in one sense elevated and have the capacity. And he does mention in the early section that this is a joyful state, but part of the joyfulness is the cessation of material misery, and then the joyfulness of this neutral condition in connection, in contact with spirit, and to some degree, further, the contact with Supersoul. As we know, Dhruva, for example, seeing the form of Vishnu within, he was experiencing ecstasy. And then when he saw the form of Vishnu without, he was in further ecstasy. So the process that we've been given, if we carried out properly, takes us even beyond that into the realm of Krishna's loving pastimes in Vrindavan, and through the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives, that same kind of love as the residents of Vrindavan. It's the best yoga class in town. And there are not too many people attending the yoga class. And even if they attend the yoga class to actually practice as the yoga instructor says, and the text, the authoritative text explains. So the shortcoming, well, it's the age of Kali. The shortcoming is, to a degree, it's circumstance and, you know, the surcharge with opposition atmosphere that we're in. Nonetheless, the process is meant for this age to achieve spiritual perfection. Some people ask the question, is it really possible to achieve all of this? And the answer is yes. We're not being teased or tricked. You can achieve perfection when you can't achieve perfection. It's not false advertising. It's certainly elevation and purification towards that state, and that alone brings its happiness. Not just happiness, yay, I'm becoming a little successful. Rather, the happiness of coming closer, the reality of coming closer and closer to our actual position. And our actual position is ultimate happiness. So coming closer to that is great happiness. And even the position of steadiness in effort is fantastic achievement. Fantastic achievement. Because, unsteadiness is the characteristic of the prior stage, even in terms of effort. Vyudha vikalpa. Jnana tarla. It's unsteadiness of effort. Attraction, distraction. If one can just stay steadfast and effort, that's a fantastic achievement. And even striving for steadiness of effort is a fantastic achievement. It's whatever one's position may be, steps in the direction of, is a fantastic achievement. And then staying with that, making efforts to stay with that. The natural result is, Krishna, because he's the Supreme Pure, he will purify, however incremental that purification is. That's our best hope, faith in that. That is the bhakti process, two things. The bhakti process will take me to Krishna. Second, the path of fruitive activities is a dead end. It brings misery only, although the promise is otherwise. There's this nice, I'll just end with this, nice verse in Canto 11, Chapter 20, about faith. Faith is directly connected to practice. The practice of devotion, sadhana bhakti. Faith is also connected to bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. Faith is the basis of a life of devotion. So faith, through the association of those that are carrying bhakti, somehow by good fortune, the Sanskrit phrase is yadrichchaya, somehow by good fortune, causeless mercy, there's been good association. And through that good association, there's now some faith. Faith that the bhakti process will carry me to the goal of life. At the same time, I know that contact with material objects will bring misery. At the same time, there's affinity for contact with sense objects. So the verse concludes, such a person, because of their faith, that's the operative principle, this faith in the bhakti process, it carries them further and further and further towards the goal. Their involvement in matter, in the mood or with the disposition of trying to be somehow the enjoyer of matter, will go on. They regret that. They don't like beat themselves up. They regulate themselves according to the Varnashram Dharma system, basically. Daivi Varnashram. They regulate themselves. Knowing that material contact will bring its misery. But in that chamber, nurturing the jewel, the faith in the bhakti process. And for us, the core bhakti process activity is chanting of the holy name. And such a person will, according to Krishna, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, he'll progress to the goal. So the operative principle is the faith connected with the proper activity. The descending mercy connected with the hope, the faith. And carrying forward, that faith grows. The creeper of bhakti grows. One's abilities, aptitude, and so forth, it will also grow according to Krishna's plan. Just like in a garden, one may plant so many seeds, and it's not that every single plant that you plant in the garden is going to grow at an equal pace. Not what happens. Some sooner, some later, some much later. But provided the seed is there and the means of fructifying the seed is there, they'll all grow in due course of time. That's, you know, it's very realistic faith. And with the bhakti process, it's absolute. Not just realistic. So that's the recommendation. We follow carefully in these purports that the Ashtanga Yoga system is paralleled with the bhakti system based upon chanting of the holy name. And then, etc., the other expressions of bhakti. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kariye Yudhoi. Beginning with the Shravana, hearing and chanting process, Shravanam Kirtanam process, all the other limbs of bhakti will come. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? Yeah. I can't hear you. You have to speak into the microphone.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
There is somewhere I got a picture that the soul is suspended in the circulation of the five kinds of air. Five kinds.
You heard that, huh?
I mean, somewhere. I remember it sticks there. But then I'm thinking, with respect to the super soul, I mean, we have two focus there. As you said yesterday, there is the jiva soul and the super soul both seated in the heart.
Isn't that nice? We have companionship.
So then,
we're never alone.
Then what about the single point that is the, you know, which is the center, at the center of the five types of airs? That's what I was thinking about the jiva soul. So what about the
swimmer? He's in hers.
Thank you. Maharaj.
Give him the microphone. Let me ask you a question. The churning of the milk ocean. Where's the bottom of the milk ocean? When Kurma entered and held up the mountain, where did Kurma's legs rest upon? He didn't need to rest upon anything. Everything rests upon him. Same with Supersoul. He doesn't need to rest upon anything. Ta-da. So when you become Super Soul, you'll also not have to rest anything. Until then, you have to rest on the life airs. Anything else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. The recommendation that you give to the devotee who had a problem, you know, chanting and likes the kirtan, chanting in beats and likes the kirtan. I miss a little bit something of the musical part, like that's something that I usually have to control myself because of training.
Because you're musical.
Then always goes towards the musical, and then, you know, eventually you get into absorbing the holy name.
I got you.
The recommendation that you gave on that, if you can repeat it.
Well, before giving the recommendation, I commented, this is very irrational. It defies reason. However, you need it. So the path forward is, you have attraction for the name, you have problem with the beads, chant without the beads. But you said you chant one round and then it's okay, so chant one round with beads. Then set the beads down. And in cadence, just chant. As if you have beads in your hand, but you don't have beads in your hand. And just do that. Then you can, you know, move to your fingers or a clicker and then beads. But, you know, just chant. And then you look, so I didn't elaborate, but you look at the clock and you know how long it takes you to chant one round with beads and then however long and then there, okay, now there's another round. So it's, you know, it's moving in increments towards what's more rational.
Yes, I was just trying to apply to myself in terms of that sometimes distraction that I have to deal with in terms of
sometimes
the musical part.
Distraction.
I have no problem chanting on my beats, but
well,
I
there's
do.
Sometimes
but
distraction
I do.
By the music part.
Yes.
I would just rather than, you know, it's a little bit like that verse that I just quoted. You know. Knowing that the musical part will enjoying the performance part as opposed to absorption in the name part, it's not going to bring happiness. It's a distraction. Nonetheless, you know, it's deeply rooted, and therefore, let me go on. I would recommend, you know, primarily striving to be attentive to the name. As opposed to the tip. Does, you know, from that focusing upon the name, enlivenment and spiritual strength and energy that comes, you can then, secondarily, apply some of that to the withdraw the attentiveness to the musical part. a little bit like, you know, the remove the thorn with the thorn. And once the thorn is removed, the thorn is removed. You go to the realm of the absolutes, and that which is relative diminishes. Like that. Rasavarjam rasopiyasya paramdrishtva. So like that.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. You were explaining about like how one, by the great good fortune of a good association, one gets the faith and it grows. And you gave the analogy of how in a garden the plants, different plants grow at different pace. And when you were telling that, I was just feeling, I sometimes have this feeling that I'm not growing fast enough, and I kind of like have this competitive mood sometimes, and like comparing myself with other devotees and things like that, and that actually like either go into lamentation or go into some other unwanted envious kind of feelings. I'm just like, if you can please help me, like what
I kick you with my boot. Prabhupada's phrase, by the way. It's very common. It's, in one sense, from the material perspective of things, we're trained up to do exactly that. Compete and compare where we are compared to the other person, and it's all material. And material doesn't take you to spiritual. In fact, you know, combine that with modes of nature and it takes you into sadness and lamentation and moroseness and weakening of effort and all kinds of dark stuff. So recognize what it is and say, no, I'm not going there. If not going there, where are you going? Put the positive in place. Same as discussion with Subal about music. Put the positive in place to weaken this other tendency. Put the positive in place. What's the positive? The positive is I'm applying according to the capacity. I'm striving to apply according to the capacity given to me, the process. I have faith. There's this weakness over here, but I'm going to deal with the weakness by investing attention in the process. With faith. Nurture that faith. Doesn't mean that, okay, now from today forward, no more tendency to do this other thing. The tendency will continue, but you're investing in the other. Just acting in a relationship with Guru and Krishna, and striving to take that which is the proper medicine to cure the disease. And when symptoms of the disease come, you tolerate it and give your attention to them. Just withdraw from over there and put over here. Na sate vidite bhavo, na bhavo vidite sataha. And however many times you have to do it, you just do it that many times. As soon as you see that tendency is reoccurring, pause, recognize it, regret, move, invest in the positive, the cultivation of bhakti with faith. Just grow the bhakti creeper. It will displace this dysfunctionality. Yeah.
I have two questions, Guru Maharaj.
Two questions. That's beyond your quota. Go ahead.
One is, like just an example, like when I was doing japa service at Pratyatras, like when I'm doing service,
yeah,
approaching the new people and requesting them to chant. After they chant one round, I usually encourage them to give it a try. You know, since they tried it once, I encourage you
one more time.
Ten days, two weeks, like that. And see how it is helping, making them, feel happy, strong, things like that. And then I put it as a challenge. I feel like if it is not helping, why to waste your time? Just give it a try. So, telling like that, I just want to see clarification whether it is proper way or not. Like, try it for 2 weeks and see if it works. Otherwise, like, why do you want to waste your time and energy?
You want to answer this question? Is it proper or not?
Hare Krishna. I mean, we can call it as a marketing skill. There is a nice story regarding this, all the people were going to hell, and Yamaraj has a doubt. How come everybody is going to hell? No one wants to come to heaven? And then he asks his secretary, Chitragupta, what's happening? And he says, oh, the hell department, marketing department is very good. Heaven is not that good, the marketing department. So it's a marketing skill, and like Maharaj says many times, when you try to taste ice cream, whether it's the top or bottom, it's still sweet or it's very tasty. So whether they try it or not, since they tried before us one round, that gives them an idea. But we shouldn't speak so much about if you don't try or anything like that, but just give a positive note that how powerful it is that I tried and it worked for me. And I would say like that.
That was a yes. Second question.
Second question. At workplace, I come across my colleagues who read different books. They even quote, Puranas and things like that. I was just wondering, how do I encourage them? They also know about ISKCON, and I see there is not so much faith, or they didn't get much taste from coming to the temple. That's one question. How do I encourage them?
Well, the best encouragement is be Krishna conscious in the workplace. Be an example of that which they go, wow, that's Krishna consciousness, I want some. That's the best. And then, person by person, as the relationship unfolds, you get an idea that one likes stories and one likes philosophy and one likes this and one likes that. Similar to what you just said, the flight from Bombay to Chicago, the motel owner that's part of Chinmayananda Mission, and but he knows about ISKCON and he has Bhagavad Gita's in his motel. So I would think, I didn't have a Bhagavad Gita with me, but he has them in his hotel. Motel. So rather than encouraging him, well, along with reading, you know, what you're reading, why don't you also read this? I didn't say that. I could have, you know, the relationship didn't unfold to that stage. But by where his interests were and responding to where his interests were in the, as the conversation was flowing, to give him an impression that was different than the impression that he started with. You know, when I could describe the particulars in that case, but it's the principle. In his case, it was his perception was ISKCON does kirtan. And, you know, where's the study? Where's the education? So, I didn't right away say, no, we do education too. I didn't go there. I said, well, here's the reason why kirtan is there. And expand that. And then, it's parallel, and the two go together. That explains some of the philosophy that says one is Krishna and the other is Swarup Shakti of Krishna. And they go together. We're Radha Krishna worshippers, not just Krishna worshippers. You know, so he was, wow. Anyway. And so his perception of ISKCON is now different than it was. And we don't have a center in El Paso, Texas. So I didn't give him, but you know, he has been to our Dallas temple and the Houston temple from time to time. So more likely he'll go there and you know, like that. Just incremental steps, not pushing the person, especially in the workplace, because then they'll push back. Just seeing where their interest lies and providing a resource that matches their interest, nourishes that interest. Okay, we're done. Krishnarchana. Hare Krishna. Last question.
Jarampa Swami, the practitioners of the Ashtanga Yoga system, is there that kind of deliberate understanding that the control of the airs are to also have an effect on curtailing desires for enjoyment with sense objects? That is one part. And then the other part is, do they have the, or rather, what is the understanding, and is it a deliberate understanding that the goal of the process will lead to an understanding of the presence of super soul? Is it deliberate?
Yes. If one is properly guided, it's deliberate. If not properly guarded, it's anything can happen. But the body is designed by the Creator to facilitate A or B, pursuit of material desires or withdrawing from the pursuit of material desires. And one may do this or one may do that. Pursue material desires or curtail the tendency to, so it's a mechanical or mechanistic approach to do that. To curtail the material desire tendency. And explicitly, not implicitly, but explicitly, by that, bring the mind under control, because that which is, disturbs or agitates the mind is the material desire thing. It agitates the mind. So if that's in abeyance, then the mind can be more focused. And it's explicit right at the very beginning. Fix the mind on super soul. It's at the end of the last chapter. It's the end of the chapter before that. It's where the train is going. Fix the mind on super soul. It's explicit. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.